Hello everyone and welcome back to the Insider Podcast. And this time I brought you a student from University of St. Andrews, one of my close friends. The University of St. Andrews is a public university in St. Andrews, Scotland, and it is the oldest of the four ancient universities of Scotland following Oxford and Cambridge universities. The third oldest university in the United Kingdom and English-speaking world. University of St. Andrews is one of the top public universities in the United Kingdom. It is ranked 96th in the QS Global World University Rankings of 2021. It has also surpassed Oxford University in the Guardian's Guide to University in 2021 to become second best in the UK. And let me present you one of my close friends, Alex.
Hey, Umberto. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, thank you.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you for giving us this opportunity. So, what happens is now we'll talk about the application process. What's it like? I know we've had a few guests from UK universities and they told us about the UCAS process, but is it the same for a Scottish university?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. It's all in the same UCAS system. You select it like any other university. As long as you're applying from like within England, it's the same process. I think for Scottish people, there is it's maybe a little bit different. I think they sometimes do interviews as well after the application process, but if they consider your grades good enough, they probably won't.
Sorry, I didn't ask you. What course are you studying in St. Andrews?
Computer science.
Okay.
Computer science and math joined.
Okay. And did they interview you?
No, I didn't.
So you just went through the UCAS process and sent your personal statement, and that's it, and your transcript, right?
Yeah, pretty much the standard thing.
Could you tell us, if you remember? I know it was far. It's a while now, but could you tell us what specific things you talked about in your personal statement, like specifically for your, is it more for a university or is it more for the course you're studying?
Well, for the personal statement, since it had to be like general, since you sent it to like five universities through UCAS, I had to write course specific things. So I mainly wrote about what I did computer science wise, and I in fact didn't write about math. I only decided I wanted to do math once I came to the university.
Okay. And you studied the IB with me. I know you. you studied in my same school. Which subjects did you study? Which subjects did you get the IB diploma?
So for higher level, I took economics and math and physics.
Mm-hmm.
And then for standard, I also did English, geography, and German.
Okay.
So yeah, I think the main thing they looked at obviously was math and then maybe the other science.
Okay. And what did the university ask you? Like as a grade?
The requirement was 39 points overall.
Okay.
With 38 points with a 666 in hires.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Obviously this year it was.
And when they offered you a place, they asked you the same requirements, right?
Yeah, pretty much the same.
I've noticed that St. Andrews, University of St. Andrews, I found that they have three different colleges. Does it work like in Oxford, where you have to apply to a college, or it's more like you apply to the University of St. Andrews and then you choose the college or the accommodation?
To be honest, I don't think the colleges matter that much. You apply to the university overall, and then within the university, there's not really much about colleges. I think it's mostly about names of like building sites, and it's not actually have anything to do with like structure. Mm-hmm.
And you know, like sometimes universities have requirements. There are, for example, 38, 39. But do you think, because there are some universities that ask fewer, like lower requirements, but sometimes it is not sufficient enough to get into the university. Like I believe in Oxford University, they ask you 38, but at the end, you kind of need over 40 in the AB. So what do you think St. Andrews is like that, or is it respects the entry requirements? So if you know, they ask you 38, but maybe you need a bit more.
Well, it's actually, I think to an extent, because I don't know, in the Scottish system, it's 4 years instead of three. Mm-hmm. So yeah. In fact, what I did, if you have just the basic requirements, you have to go like into the first year and do the full 4 years. But if your grades are good enough, you can skip the first year because it's basically the repetition of the last year of school because of the Scottish system. And you could go straight to the second year, which is what I did.
Ah, okay. So you're doing 3 years instead of 4 years. Nice. I didn't know that. Okay. And finally, to close the application process section, do you have any tips that you could give to future students that want to apply to St. Andrews University?
I think it's just a generic tip, and really that you should look at St. Andrews. A lot of people, I think, oh, you know, it's somewhere really far away in Scotland, like, oh, it's such a remote place. But really, it's about the education experience and the...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Some people sometimes feel disconnected with society, and maybe you should think like...
So you inform yourself more about the university.
Yeah, like, and you should definitely visit it and judge it after you visit it.
Okay. And have you met any friends that had an interview?
Yeah, I had one friend who's Scottish, and he had an interview.
And did you, by any chance, ask him how the interview was?
Not really. Okay. We didn't talk about it.
Yeah, because I looking at St. Andrews, I saw also that before Brexit, I don't know now, but before Brexit, Scotland offered free education, at least a discount, to people from Europe, right?
Yeah, I think it was like £3,000.
Yeah, £3,000 instead of 9,000 on the classic £9,000.
And yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah,
because European people paid 3,000, but then English people paid 9,000.
It's true. Yeah, and I believe that also made the application process a bit more competitive because more people were applying to it, right?
Yeah. I mean, especially for computer science, which is it's most known for.
Okay, well, thank you. And now let's talk about the first week, when they offered you a place, how did you integrate in the city, in the town of St. Andrews? When you first arrived, how did the university welcome? First of all, let's talk about the accommodation. Was it difficult to find an accommodation in St. Andrews?
This year, actually, yeah. They didn't have, in fact, because of the whole A-level grades shenanigans, they didn't have enough space for everyone. Mm-hmm. So people who didn't fit into the normal accommodation had the choice to like either live in another city half an hour away by bus, Dundee, or in like a small military village of sorts, 10 minutes away by bus.
Okay. And were you lucky enough to get a place in the campus or?
No. No, I applied too late for the accommodation, so I live in like the village.
Yeah, okay. And how did you find the accommodation? Because I believe the same scenario will happen this year.
I mean, my accommodation is probably not representative. I can say about the normal accommodation that they have, which I've seen from visiting friends.
Okay.
So it's the classic sort of, if you take uncatered at least, then it's sort of the classic system where it's a flat, and then it has five rooms for five single rooms, and then a shared kitchen between them.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, and if you like, if you Google the, if you Google St. Andrews, you clearly see in the images, like really, really beautiful buildings. Are they the, are those buildings the accommodations, or the usual accommodations, or are they where you study? The campus.
Well, I don't know what pictures exactly mean, yeah. But the accommodation is really nice. Like the DRA, which is like an entire village of just the student mm-hmm. accommodation buildings. They're really nice, modern, and they're really well like made inside and outside. And also the other halls, I think, as well. There are not that many like mm-hmm. old buildings, which people often associate with like ancient universities.
Okay. And so like you were telling us about the accommodation of your friends, so it's uncatered, everything is uncatered.
No, you have the option to either have uncatered or catered.
Okay.
And catered accommodation, I think there are some places where it's, well, where it's just a floor with the rooms mm-hmm. rather than flats.
Have you visited any rooms from your friends' accommodation in the typical accommodations, the usual
yeah.
before COVID? Yeah. So yeah. How are they? They, what did you think about them?
They're pretty nice. I mean, they're not that big, but that's to be expected. I noticed the beds are huge and they take up a lot of, like most of the room. And then the showers are also pretty nice, and the kitchens as well. The kitchens okay. are actually surprisingly good. They have like four large stoves, so mm-hmm. even if multiple people are cooking at the same time, there's enough space.
Okay, so good action. So like actually like good accommodations, great. And now let's talk about, you know, the first week, how the university welcomed you. Like, you know, you arrived, young Alex, inexperienced, new to university life. How did the University of St. Andrews welcome you?
I mean, I think this year is not really that representative of yeah. what it's normally going to be, because the first week I was of university, I was still in quarantine in London, in fact.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
And then when I came to the university, they basically just gave me a key and told me where to go. And then all the, like the explanations they did online through Teams.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, of course. But, and how do you think the university handled the situation?
I think at this point they handled it pretty well. They have a very good online system with all the like videos and tutorials and work submissions and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And okay. And so they gave you the key. They told you where to go. They gave you, and you got your room, and then. What about the social life in St. Andrews? I know, despite COVID, you know, unfortunately, I'm doing this podcast exactly during a pandemic and it doesn't represent it really well, but at least could you give an insight? I know, how is it a mainly student city, St. Andrews?
Yeah, it's in fact 50% student. The population of St. Andrews is like 10,000 people, and then there's 9,000 students.
Oh,
so
okay.
half of the city is the university.
Yeah.
So a lot of things, I mean, students are mostly everywhere, and a lot of things are targeted at them. So that's really nice.
Okay,
and
so you
plenty of like student discounts and things.
So yeah, many people might be worried about, you know, St. Andrews. Is far, it's not a big city, right? But usually without COVID, considering COVID, it's full of students.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And really, like, it's not that big, but it has pretty much everything you need.
Oh, okay, okay. And what about the nationalities that there are? So like, is it mainly English? Is it mainly Scottish? Is there mainly Scottish students, or is it more an international university?
There are a lot of English people and a lot of Scottish. There's also a surprising amount of American people, and especially Californians. For some reason, St. Andrews is like really popular in America. in terms of like, I read somewhere that in the US, it's the third most recognized university after Oxford and Cambridge.
Yeah.
So it's really popular with Americans.
Yeah, as I said, St. Andrews is a really good university. It's in top 100 universities in the world. And The Guardian for this year has said that it surpassed Oxford University. So that's a lot of prestige right there.
Yeah. I think also part of the reason why it's maybe lower down than some other prestigious universities, like it's 96th or something, is because it's pretty small, so they don't do that much research. So like, they're obviously gonna produce less research than like Manchester, which has like 50,000 people or something.
Okay,
so yeah. I think that's part of the reason.
Okay.
Well.
And what about the teaching structure? Do you have how many, like? Because some students have lectures and then classes. What about you? How many lectures do you have in, for example, for computer science? How many lectures do you have in a week? Do you do classes? What are classes about?
Yeah, so each week we had four computer science lectures, but how many you have really depends on what modules you take. And it's really nice that, especially more in second year than in first, they allow you to really choose what modules you want to take. So how much computer science you want to do, how much math, you can even take some random thing on the side totally, as long
okay.
As you fulfill the basic things. So right now I had the, yeah.
No, you can tell. Keep going.
So right now we had the, from what I took just the basic computer science. So I had four lectures a week, and then we also had one tutorial, which was supposed to be in person, but was over Microsoft Teams. And it was like, they gave us a question sheet and we had to answer it. And then in the tutorial, we review it with the lecturer and he asks answers any questions we have. And yeah, that sort of thing.
Okay. Okay. And so everything was online this year?
Pretty much everything except for math tutorials, which were in person. And that was the only time I actually went into the teaching buildings and into the lecture rooms.
So what's it like, the relationship between teachers and students? So do you have any contacts with despite COVID, I know, but like, do you have any type of methods or ways to get in contact with the lecturer?
Yeah, I really like the relationship thing structure. So I think partly because it's a smaller university, it's all, you can contact lecturers a lot more easier. You can just email them pretty much anytime. And like, I know our math lecturer, for example, he would even answer you on like Sunday at 10 p.m.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, and obviously the tutorial groups are like 10 to 11 people per tutor, so it's also very personal. And in a way it was similar to St. Clair's, how it's a lot less official than I think it usually is in a lot of British at least establishments, where you don't have to like start each email with a dear doctor Samuel
Jackson. Yeah.
Just say hello, Oz.
Okay. And great. That's amazing. Like, what about like? So you have lecturers, and then what do you have? Do you have any kind of PhD students that might help you, or is it so you have lectures and then tutorials?
Yeah.
Who leads the tutorials?
Tutorials, I think it's mostly also just lecturers that teach different parts of the course, or sometimes they're like, they're just teaching PhD students, research students who sort of just help out with the...
And okay.
Yeah.
So, as you said, there is... if you get into University of St. Andrews with a course, there is a mandatory module. There are mandatory modules that you have to study, and then you can choose optional modules, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And now let's talk about, you know, the societies that are in the University of St. Andrews. Do you have, do you like, are there many societies, or it's more kind of academic university?
Yeah, there are loads of societies. I think like over 200. There are society for pretty much everything.
Despite COVID, did you join any or?
Yeah, especially in the beginning, like before more lockdowns was introduced. Obviously, there were some that were still like closed.
But yeah, I joined the Computer Science Society, then the Badminton Society, which is more like just a group of people who like to play badminton together sometimes. And also the Gaming Society.
Okay, and of course, you can create your own society.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you can create an unofficial society, though they have some weird rules about making it an official society to join with, like, they have a society body which integrates it with all the other ones, and they have some sponsorship or schemes. Mm-hmm. You have to have 25 paying members. You have to have some sort of constitution. And you have to have a secretary and the money manager, if I got the technical name.
Oh, okay, the treasurer.
Yes, the treasurer.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And what about the campus? What's it like? How are the facilities?
It's really nice. Most of the buildings are really modern, and they're in fact building more right now. They're renovating one. It's nicely equipped. Some of the buildings are, if it's old, it's mostly on the outside. I haven't seen that many classrooms. I've been on like two where the math tutorials were, but from what I've seen, it's all really nice.
Okay, so it's modern in the inside, but old in the outside, which is beautiful, I must say.
Yeah, I mean, some of the buildings are like just obviously glass and wood styling, which in a modern way, but there are some, especially towards more buildings that are closer to the city center, are more, you know, traditional and old style.
What about the library?
I have not been there.
You've not been there, unfortunately.
I just use the online library.
So they provide
computer science.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. They provide an online library, of course. And instead, what about, for example, sport facilities, like, you know, football pitch? Are there any sport facilities offered by the camp from the campus, or is it more a collaboration between the university and other institutions?
Well, they have a sports center, which is like part university, part city. It's called Saint Sport. It's open, technically it's open to the public, but it's mostly only used by students. They have pretty much everything. They have the tennis courts, they have a gym, which is not that big, but it's for the amount of people, it's good.
And okay, nice. And now let me ask you a personal question, which is, can you tell us one thing that you really like about St. Andrews University, the University of St. Andrew, and a thing that maybe does not impress you, or that maybe you don't like about it?
Yeah, I think what I like the most is the personal connection. Yeah, you sort of feel with the tutors and even lecturers. Like, even though lectures were all online, there was still a pretty decent amount of interaction in like Microsoft Teams, and at least the computer science lecturers were pretty lighthearted about it all. So I like that a lot, and I think it's going to be even better once the whole COVID thing is over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. And what about the thing that you don't like?
If
you feel forced, don't say it.
I guess the way they handled the whole accommodation thing, and
yeah, of course,
with the village, they basically rented like some random houses, on a military base, and yeah,
it is.
I mean, you can't entirely blame them for it. That's,
yeah, of course. I don't think
just 2020 things.
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem that only St. Andrews had. I think, I, for example, last week I had a guest, one of my friends from UCL, and they kind of have the same problem. The A levels, many A levels entered in the university because A levels were now provided with the predictors each student had. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a situation that caused many issues around the university world. And now let me.
But also, on a side note, to be honest, if you're like really into computer science, I think it's wise to take more math, because even the second year computer science is a bit easy.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. And now let me ask you the weird question, which is: could you rate out of 10 different aspects of the university, such as the city, St. Andrews? How would you rate it from 1 to 10? Despite, consider COVID, be generous. Consider
COVID. Okay. Oh God, it's always hard. The city, I'd give it a solid 8, or maybe even a 7. I'm personally not a fan of like small cities. I enjoy, more massive skyscrapers and loads of people. But it's for its size, it's pretty good. It has loads of restaurants, loads of shops. And if you don't like it, half an hour by bus is Dundee, which is much bigger, and there's loads more stuff there if you want that.
Yeah, of course. So like that, the 2 points missing are because is because you prefer big cities.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. And what about the campus?
The campus, it's really good. There's not much to complain about, really. I have 9 out of 10. Yeah.
Okay.
Solid 9.
And what about the teaching, the professors?
For computer science, definitely 10 out of 10.
Okay. I'm going to ask you later what you study specifically about computer science.
Yeah.
More generally,
For math, I don't know. I had kind of a weird experience for one module for calculus. All the professors and teachers were really good, and I really really liked it. But also, I just like calculus. But then for statistics,
because
pro tip, don't take MT 2504. Just don't. If you go to St. Andrews, do not take 2504.
Of course I know you, but I don't think of course some listeners might not know you. Alex is great in maths. He's really good in maths, and maybe that's why he's mocking calculus. Could you explain?
No, calculus was good, but then statistics and combinatorics.
Okay. Yeah. And so why are you suggesting not taking that course?
I don't know if it was because of how they had to teach it, and maybe if it's in a standard classroom, lecture hall environment, it's better. But I just didn't like the way it was taught. I don't want to say anything specific, but one of the lecturers was... I just don't think it was explained that well, and a lot of people agree with me. There was even like a sort of open letter complaining about it. I don't know if it went anywhere. I just saw it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, most people didn't really like it.
Okay.
I think they kind of felt it and made the exam really easy, but it still doesn't compensate for the fact that I haven't maybe learned much as I could.
Yeah, okay. So there is kind of a student union that makes its job, right?
So they have a student union where they have like representatives from each year for specific courses or the year in general.
Okay.
And they seem to actually be doing things rather than being placeholders. So, yeah.
Okay. Nice, thank you. This is the end of the weird section. The final question I want to ask you is, can you tell us a typical day of a University of St. Andrews student?
There is nothing typical about this year.
Yeah, of course, nothing typical. A typical day of a University of St. Andrews student in 2020.
Wake up around 10 o'clock, maybe a bit later, depending on the day.
Okay.
Especially if there are no computer science lectures in the morning.
So nice, nice calm morning.
Yeah. Have some breakfast, then watch. They did actually math lectures pretty interestingly. They did it as video recordings, and you could watch them pretty much anytime.
Okay.
So, you know, you could wake up at like 10, 11, whatever, then watch recordings of the lectures, make some notes maybe. And then depending on what week you do tasks, they set you pretty much. Yeah,
okay. And then you have lunch, right?
Yeah. I typically did all the math work during the day, like before dinner at least.
Yeah.
Just kind of felt, I tried to maintain some resemblance of a working schedule and, you know, trying to do work during the day and not late at night.
Mm-hmm.
But then computer science programming just felt, I don't know, more natural after dinner.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us a general estimate of how many hours do you work in a week?
Ooh. They have actually a sort of a representation for that. So each module, they have it in credits. So for example, the computer science module was 30 credits, and then each math module was 15 credits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to mean that one credit is 10 hours of work in total. So if you divide that by 12 weeks, a bit more than 10 hours per week, I guess.
More than 10 hours, okay.
For each math module.
So how many math modules do you have?
For this semester, I took 2 math modules.
Okay, nice.
But I'd say for computer science, I spend a little bit less probably.
Okay, so you have 20 hours basically for math, and then computer science.
Also 20 hours supposedly. I think I spent more like 20 hours in math and 10 hours in computer science.
Okay.
I felt it was pretty easy, but
so you study, you
especially
have
if you're familiar with like Java.
Java for computer science, yeah. So you study, you finish your lectures, and what do you do next after lunch, during the afternoon, or
I typically watched all the lectures and like note taking before lunch.
Okay.
And then lunch around, let's say, 2 or 3, and then after that relax for a bit, and then do all the math stuff first and then computer science.
Okay.
I like to get math out of the way first, and then most days done before dinner, and then.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to ask you a question that is, I think it's important, which is, and then we conclude the episode, which is careers prospects. Does the university help you in these regards? Does it provide a service that could help you in organizing having a more precise idea of what you're going to do after university, even though it's the first year, I know, but
there is a careers department, which mm-hmm. they have obviously careers newsletter, all that stuff, but also they help you with careers. You can ask them for advice. University often hosts like career fairs or things. Well, not this year, but other years. And also for computer science, there are a lot. They host hackathons, which are a really good way of you know, getting involved with the employers to give challenges, and then, you know, they so, you know, you can mention it in your application to that employer later. But also, from what I've seen, in later years, you can take as a module a work placement in a company that you choose or the university helps you find, and it counts as credits towards your course. So I think that's really nice as well, that, you know, practical experience, and you don't have to sacrifice the university for it.
Of course, yeah.
The other way around.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you for sharing with us your insights about the University of St. Andrews. I'm sure you helped a lot of people. Thank you very much. And thank you to the listeners who are listening until here. And hopefully we'll meet after COVID. You and I had to say goodbye suddenly in a week. So. But thank you. It was nice having this conversation with you, and for the listeners, see you next week. Thank you.